Once again, live from the Mammoth Oasis, it's the intro music from an old show that we're using on a new show, the Sports Dumbcast, with me, Joe Canale, and my co-host, Ephraim Salam. I timed it nicely for the claps and everything.
Good.
Works out really well. They won't even know about all the aborted starts that we had, except I just talked about. Music run out, folks. It's a long intro song, I just realized. Now, some of you folks may know we did an episode just yesterday with Nooch, and we're doing one today with Ephraim. The goal is eventually to do a show with everybody together. But we'll just, if you need to, listen to the two shows simultaneously, and it'll be like we're all together. But quite frankly, there are different things I can talk to you about than what I can talk to him about. And not simply in a black or white way, but in a, like, rational human being, and then Nooch.
Right. of course.
So we had some good talks about Halloween stuff with him yesterday, but there's so many good big fat issues in sports right now to tackle. All that kind of have a general theme today, maybe, that I'll talk about athletes using their influence as it is. Which is really only in the last few years started to become a bigger deal. Now, you know, baseball and unions and everything, those were big deals right. when they happened. But now you're seeing things like basketball players demanding trades while still on a contract. And none of this is unusual to me, since teams have the power to switch a player's city.
At any moment.
You're living in Seattle, and now you're living in Cleveland.
Or Green Bay.
You're living in New York, and now you're living in Upper Wisconsin.
Yes.
Big change.
Huge change.
You're living in Orlando, and now you're living in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Or the other way around.
You're in San Francisco, now you're in Jacksonville.
Yes. Right. All of the... Yeah, right.
Yes.
Totally different stuff. So, athletes are starting to say, you know, I'm in Minnesota, I want to go to Houston or Miami or L.A.
The only leverage players have is when they're up for, you know, when they're in the final year of their contract, or now even now, final 2 years of their contract, that's the only leverage they have.
Yeah.
So you see players like Le'Veon Bell holding out.
Right.
You see players like Jimmy Butler, like, I want to be traded, but I only want to be traded to these places.
Yep.
I'm not going to sign a long-term deal with anywhere else.
Yes. And that is the, you know, I'm all for the, and I get fans, especially of the team where a guy's not playing, getting upset at that, you're on a contract and everything, but, and I am not like a labor lawyer or anything.
You're not?
No, I'm not. Oh. But I did represent my theater in equity negotiations against the theater, because that's how I approached it. Maybe not the best way, but, I have experience in.
Did you win that case?
Okay. We got it. Here's what we did. I'll tell you what everyone thought we won, but me.
Okay.
Because I was the one who wanted more.
Right.
I wanted free parking, which everyone else in the building got, but the actors didn't. So at 2 a.m. on a Saturday night after your second show, some 25-year-old girl is walking, you know, four blocks to her car in Old Town Chicago, instead of just right to the garage there where all the producers and stuff have a permanent parking spot. They held out on that because they were pricks. But my experience is basically that management will step on your neck until you're dead.
Yes.
That's greed has taken over in this country, and, you know, as unions get pushed down and everything. Now, there's some unions, like teachers' unions in big cities, that they actually, fuck it, it's hard work doing that stuff. But some unions get to a point where it's like, we can't bankrupt the city to give you 9/10 of your salary until you die.
Right.
I mean, I understand that. But because people are living longer too.
Yes,
all these
are.
Things are having effect. It's like, yeah, we'll give you your pension
because
you're
40.
We'll give you your pension because you're going to get it for 4 years, then you'll be dead, and your wife will get it for 3 more years.
right.
That's now, what it was. Now it's like you're alive for 15 and she's living for 30.
You've been living off your pension for 40 years.
Yes, right. And God bless that the country got to the point where you could do that. You know, in United Arab Emirates, Everybody gets free college and everything, but they got that much oil money.
Right.
You know, if you've got that much, and actually our country has that much, we could give the free education. We could do all that, the free health care.
We just don't want to.
Right. Because we don't have the type of wealth that makes everyone the top 1% a billionaire, like in Kuwait or something.
Right.
And so everyone trickling down from that 1% billionaire is a millionaire. Here, the 1% are millionaires. And everyone trickling down, and it trickles all the way down. You know, we have 100 times as many people as Kuwait, probably. You know, so
easily.
Yeah. So you're just going to go so many stages down below the 1%. Anyway, yeah. So greed has taken over with the management.
Right.
So it's time, you know, I think we're in a period where even though these guys are making millions of dollars.
Well, players just have a voice now. Players have a voice. And like I said, the only leverage you have is when you're in a position of power, when you're in a position to dictate what you want your future to be. Yeah. Look, I don't want to be here anymore. Trade me to this place, or that place. If you trade me anywhere else, I will not sign a long-term deal. And when I hit free agency, I'm going to go where I want to go.
So they will get nothing essentially for me, warning those teams not to come after them.
But what we have seen is teams roll the dice. We saw Oklahoma City roll the dice last year with the trade with the Pacers.
Yes.
For Paul George.
Right.
They rented him for a year.
And they kept him.
Right? They were rolling. Everybody thought Paul George was going to L.A.
Yeah.
We're seeing it happen and play out right now with Kawhi Leonard.
In Toronto.
And they have the best team in the NBA.
Yeah.
They have the best record right now.
And they've obviously made accommodations to him where he's not playing in back-to-backs.
Of course.
You know, the guy's 26, 27. Right. They're going to do everything they can at this point.
They're
going to
roll it out. And it's fine right now. But when that winter hits in Toronto, and he has to get in his car or his snowplow.
Yep. And this is funny because I am, you know, I'm probably more socialist than most people, certainly in this country. But when he sees his game checks from Toronto and he sees his game checks from out of town, where was he playing in? San Antonio, no state tax.
Right.
So when he sees his game check from San Antonio versus the one from Toronto. Yeah. It's going to be a lot.
Yeah. You have to be taxed twice.
So California's even going to look better compared to Canada in that regard.
Anywhere.
They are using the little bit of power they have, and you're right. And that's basically the team's option is to say, and
I feel like Jim, no trade clauses.
Right. That's the other thing. But I think you're going to see some more, like talking about the NFL, you've had a few quarterbacks get guaranteed money for the first time.
Right.
I think Le'Veon Bell is going to try to get some guaranteed money.
He won't get a fully guaranteed contract like Kirk Cousins did, but he'll get upwards of probably 40, 50 million guaranteed.
Right, over like 5-6 years.
Right.
You know, and maybe the last year will be whatever. But he's only 26, and he's smart taking this year off.
Well, yeah, he knows he has to. He has to be, I believe, seven weeks.
Yeah, 10, 11, 12, 13. Yeah, he has to be there by week 10.
Yeah. So
next week?
Yeah, next week.
Now, again, I was saying off air, I think he should show up Saturday.
And that's in order for him for this year to count.
Yes.
For him to be a free agent next year.
And you know,
if he sits out the entire year, Pittsburgh still has him for another year.
So there's no reason he would do that at this point.
No.
That would undo everything he's done already.
Right.
And he was smart to not sign before the trade deadline. Again, now you know that next time they negotiate, management is going to want that out, that loophole out where, you know, he can wait. And that's good. That's how advances get made, is that you exploit the loophole.
Yep.
And then you make them have to
close it.
And it's gonna cost them something.
Gotta cost them.
That's right. So, you know, in the NFL where they were talking about doing all these, you know, draconian rules about the national anthem and kneeling and everything. Well, you got to collectively bargain that. So
yes,
if you want to bargain that next time, we're going to be smoking weed. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of opioids.
Or we're going to give guys health care for life.
Right. Probably more important.
Very, very much so.
How can you make the argument against that? But
It's no argument.
If you look at VA hospitals, the United States government treats its soldiers like shit. It's always, no matter what, Democrats, Republicans, no matter who's in office, the VA, there's every month there's a story about like, oh, here's all these Vietnam vets who had to wait 16 years to go to the, get a checkup. Like, I don't, you know, the use up and throw away kind of philosophy.
Of this country.
Yes.
Consume, 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 and discard, that, discard, discard.
And that's, all right, that's, and we had a little off-air conversation that I was a bit apprehensive about, but this kind of blends into that, use up and throw away. So I had a question that I asked you before that this is not an unusual sports question. It's come up before. It comes up in a lot of situations like, what do you think about baseball players before integration? Are their records a little bit, you know? It's obviously they weren't playing against the best players
on the planet.
Right. They weren't playing in a completely the best league in the world. We talked, I think, a little bit about the barnstorming tours last time.
Right.
And how good all those players were. And so I made the observation that I was in another conversation with somebody, and like Jimmy the Greek's comments, the way he phrased it years ago, horrible the way he phrased it. Now, the thought behind it, and this is, you know, I can only have this conversation. I couldn't have done this with Nooch the other day on the air, but the country here, the economy was built on slavery. That's what brought us up to the great country we were.
Well, yeah, that's why we're the
economy had free labor
for hundreds of years.
Yeah, before we were a country, and about 100 years after we were a country. Because even if you count 1865, there were still Jim Crow laws for another like 30, 40 years. Or Jim Crow was later, actually, but there were very, you know, effective ways of indentured servitude and stuff like that. So it didn't exactly end in 1864 or 65.
13th Amendment, go ahead.
Yeah. But that was a use-up-and-throw-away culture, obviously.
Right.
So I don't know that I'm tying this together greatly, but the conversation I wanted to have was about athleticism and racial stereotypes. But in this one, I was asking, after watching sports for my whole life, my observation is that on average, African Americans
are better athletes than white people.
You said it. I'm nodding my head in agreement.
I was trying to help you.
I know. And you're right. It shouldn't be like a thing to say, but I feel like I've got that white liberal guilt where anytime I say something with the word black in it, I kind of hesitate.
Have to apologize
right
after.
Yeah. But
I saw a black guy yesterday. I mean, he looked good. Yeah. He was great. He was robbing a lady, but he looked shape. He had.
I could see why he was doing it. He got away easily. I mean, a white guy would have gotten away. She was very old, but. But then I was talking to you, and the question is, as a former professional athlete who's African American, I said, is that the impression amongst athletes who are African American that they're more athletic?
So there's something that happens. When you're a player and when you're growing up all through your time, when I play basketball, if any player I ever knew and ever watched, and you should watch this, like watch it when you watch the NBA game.
Yeah.
If a white guy came over to guard you, you immediately wanted the ball.
Right. Right.
Right? Like, these are things that are unsaid.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, it's no way he can guard me.
Yeah.
That's just a mentality.
Right.
Whether it's true or not, right? That's just what the mentality was.
Yep.
And I think a lot of that thinking and a lot of the athletic prowess comes from a need. Right? So this goes all the way back to, we need to be faster, we need to be stronger, we need to be more resilient.
Because you've had to overcome the prejudice of being less than, and no matter which way you want to, is it three-fifths? Is it whatever the perception is in this country?
And it's also your options. So options were very limited,
right,
for African Americans in this country, and in some ways still are.
Yeah.
So you are put in a position to where, as a kid, you see your way out as being bigger, faster, stronger.
Yeah. And because that, yeah, and at least after the 50s, at least you were able to see people of your color,
right,
you know, and you see an occasional.
When you look at Jackie Robinson,
yeah,
and all of the baseball greats, and all, they'll say Jackie Robinson's the greatest baseball player I've ever seen.
Yeah,
right.
From when he came in, yeah.
So if you had a team full of Jackie Robinsons and a team full of Babe Ruths, which team do you think would win?
Well, now you ask that, and I'm going to get real technical on you. Babe Ruth would have been a Hall of Fame pitcher. Pitching in 1919, I understand, against different people. See, in the field is where Jackie Robinson's team would win. Anything in the field of play, I don't see Babe Ruth playing shortstop too well.
No, but just think, if you put a Jackie Robinson at every position and you put Babe Ruth at every position,
yeah,
who wins that game?
That's a fun game to watch. I've been trying to get my brother
because
to do that
with
FIFA.
Because we know Jackie can hit.
Yeah.
We know Jackie can catch
and field
cover
and run.
And field and run.
Right. That, you know, honestly,
some things Babe Ruth couldn't do.
True. But Babe Ruth could pitch. I mean, that when you say that to me, like, so I was trying to get my brother to do for the website. He has FIFA, the soccer game. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to get him, and he did it. Varying success, but I wanted him to make a team of the smallest dudes you could against the biggest dudes you could. And he did that. Now, the big dudes won because you can't make them slow enough that they just don't dominate
right.
in the game. So they're just so big anytime they tackle or whatever, you know, and it's hard to get the ball from. But that, you know, that's a very strange sports what if. But I'm having a hard time deciding on that. Because there are distinct advantages for Robinson in the field completely, base running completely. But Babe Ruth had power and a very good eye. Like, that's a matchup I'd love to see.
That would be great.
Because
that'd be great.
You got power against speed there, you know. Ultimately, also, since you're talking about Jackie Robinson coming in, you know, 20 years after Ruth, he's probably better just because athletes every 20 years, you look at them and it's like,
right,
you know, if you throw Allen Iverson against Bob Cousy, forget it.
Forget about it.
Nobody, he's taking uncontested layups because nobody's getting back. He gets a rebound. He's at the hoop before the center at half court is at the hoop in that scenario. Well, that's a very interesting thing, and we'll never know. But
we'll never know. But if you just think about that in every sport,
yeah,
take the who you deem the best is, and from each ethnicity,
yeah,
and you fill the whole team up with those people. Like, so for who's the greatest white basketball player ever?
Bird, probably.
So we take Larry Bird.
Five Larry Birds and five LeBrons.
Or five Jordans. What does that look like? Who's the best?
Well, in that game, the Jordans will win because the athleticism. See, baseball is a sport. Oh, it's different in baseball because.
Well, let's keep going, though. Let's keep going.
Sure.
Let's not stay on baseball. Let's go golf.
Tiger.
And?
Jack.
Right? What does that look like?
It's so hard to. I mean, you're also
take
comparing
Tiger in his
errors.
Prime, take.
Jack in his prime. Well, Tiger hits it 100 yards further than Jack. But is it the equipment?
But
and would
give
Jack
him the best clubs, whatever that is.
I don't know. In golf, I don't know that.
Equipment is across across the board. And you can even play with the equipment from back then just to make it fair
even?
For it.
Well,
right?
I don't know in that instance. Golf is a tricky one too, though, because I feel like an athletic advantage in golf, other than driving – I guess, you know, agility in terms of your hand work and being able to do. I don't know on that one that I can make a determination. I really don't.
Be good to see.
It would be great to see.
We're getting
ready. We need a time machine.
We're getting ready this weekend. It's our next weekend to see two of the top golfers.
Is that
in
Phil
this
and
era.
Tiger?
Phil and Tiger.
I think Tiger's going to kill him there.
We're getting ready to see that.
Going to be a lot of money changing
of money,
hands.
Though.
That's
of
the
money.
Most interesting part of that.
And the trash talk. I can't wait to hear the trash talk. But if you go through every sport, right?
Yeah.
And you know, at every position. Right? Like, if you take arguably the best quarterback on the planet ever is Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You fill a whole team full of Tom Brady's, and then you take and put a whole team full of Michael Vick's out there just for, you know,
Randall
Cunningham's.
I was actually even trying to think of a guy. He played for the Bears briefly. He was a backup quarterback around the league.
Webb? Joe Webb?
No. He actually started maybe for the Raiders for a few years, too. He bounced around the league and
black quarterback?
Yeah. Oh. He played for the Raiders. He played for the Bears briefly. I feel like he may have been like a backup in Cleveland at some. I mean, everyone was at some point. Regardless, mm-hmm. He was not a superstar.
Right.
But even you take him versus Brady, and I'll take him.
Things look different.
Yeah.
Well, in terms of total athleticism, that's what we're talking about.
Yes,
we're not talking about position-specific
and knowledge.
Areas. We're just talking about
yes.
So you know that goes back to the conversation we're having about. You know, are African American athletes superior than white athletes?
Right.
Now, I mean, nobody wants to talk about that because that's such a black and white thing. That's
right.
Such a,
and it's.
And
it has
such racial connotations.
And it
and
suggests separating
it.
And it suggests putting one above the other. But what we were saying before, you know, and I've said this a lot of times, I think I said it in this, again, this country, its economy, got up to where it was because they had a free labor force.
Right.
And the people who were brought here as slaves, physical attributes were survival of the fittest.
Yes, and you had to be fit. Like, the working conditions led to you
yes.
having more muscle tone.
Absolutely.
Being
right.
able to endure
and,
more.
And again,
and so
people
on.
Who were able to sustain that physical.
And then you breed. You pass the genetics on to your child.
And let's not pretend that like, you know, farmers were, plantation owners, slave owners, were looking at this. They were looking at this like a workforce as if it was cattle.
Of course.
Right?
That's what it was.
Right. So it would be in their interest to breed the strongest and to, you know, essentially force that type of evolution amongst that population, even though it was only probably 4, 5, 6 generations maybe, which actually can get a lot done in that. But if you start at that basis, it makes sense. And maybe someone much smarter and more educated than me has made that point.
Right.
It's made that point. But like when you look at it that way, to me, that's kind of like an empirical explanation for it, a scientific explanation for, you know, again, the first 200 years of people living here, one population was made to physically work to support the other population.
Right.
So it would make sense that population. And then you said something earlier about who do you see as your figures you can look up to. And yes, there has been a black president. That's like 5% of this country's history have mm-hmm. we had a black president for.
Right. Maybe
you know,
even less than that.
Yeah, when you take the whole.
Yeah.
So before then, you have Martin Luther King. And I forgive me for my ignorance of popular African-American figures in history, but I'm thinking of a lot of them as sports figures. And so if that's who you're seeing as your heroes, perhaps that's where you go towards.
Well, that was the way for us to cross the color barrier.
Yep.
And we talked about Jackie Robinson. Yep. When that happened, other African Americans were like, Well, maybe I can too.
And here's the one other thing about
Bill Russell.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I can too. Right. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Alcindor, right?
Yep. Doesn't hurt to be 7 feet tall.
It does. I mean, it does. Yeah. Right. No. But even the 7 foot tall black guys were different than the 7 foot tall white
guys. Oh, yes. Yes, you're right. You're right. Because, right? Again, because probably the 7 foot tall black guys.
The NBA outlawed dunking.
Yeah. For Kareem.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. One dude. Where, like, you can't dunk.
Best thing ever happened to his career, though.
Absolutely.
The skyhook came out of that.
Yep. And then, but the ABA was like, oh, you can dunk
yeah,
all of
right.
Right? So then you get the Dr. J's.
And
the George Gervins and all of those
guys.
And
you
guys.
Get the style that that came into the NBA and made it what it was. It's true.
Come on.
You're right. You're right.
They were dribbling the ball in circles. To get the games, early basketball games, without the shot clock.
Oh, yeah.
They were like 7 or 8 to 10.
Oh, yeah, those early games. Yeah.
You just dribbling in a circle. Pass
right. And then you get a lead, and you're doing your four corners or whatever it
That's
is.
That's it. Right?
But here's one other thing I want to say about sports that it'll transition to this other last thing I want to talk about. Up until recently, to me, sports has been the ultimate meritocracy. It still is probably in at least in this country, the closest thing to an absolute meritocracy where you can do it, you're in.
You're in.
And they overlook a lot of stuff if you can do it.
Yes.
Usually criminal stuff.
Yes.
If you're good enough at doing it.
Yeah, and if you're good enough at doing something.
And that's also something.
Your shortcomings become manageable.
And if you're someone who is being denied opportunities in other things, but you are allowed a complete meritocracy, you're probably going to go towards a thing that's going to give you a fair shake.
Absolutely.
Now, so that's another explanation for why that might have been an appeal to an African-American population. Because they can actually, that's a place that they can be like, I can do this, and I get the job that I deserve. Now, it still took them forever to get become pitchers, to become quarterbacks, to be getting those positions, coaches blah, blah, blah,
GMs,
but that's
owners.
Those are less meritocracies when you get up to those things.
Right.
You see a lot of shitty GMs who work forever. You don't see a lot of shitty athletes in the league forever,
no.
Except on the Bills.
That is correct.
Where they, there's been a number of quarterback moves this year for backups and stuff. Jacksonville would be leading their division if they had Kaepernick at quarterback.
Easily.
Possibly undefeated.
Easily.
Buffalo, I mean, I'm next on their list ahead of Kaepernick. I just don't see how these arguments can be made.
We're done.
And I know I keep coming back
talent.
To it. Yeah.
Like that's over.
To a degree.
To a degree.
But this one dude is, I mean.
It's not about talent anymore. And no one has the balls.
It's amazing that all these billionaires have no balls. That's true.
No, they don't. They don't.
And it's possibly also because a lot of them, you might see somebody like Mark Cuban do a move like this in a different league, just saying.
He might hire him for the Dallas Mavericks.
Right, right. But Mark Cuban, as far as I know, is fairly self-made.
Mm-hmm.
Most NFL owners, actually, because we're generations deep on some of them, are born on third, thought you hit a triple.
Yes.
So your balls get cut off the second you're in that situation, mm-hmm. in most instances.
Can't do anything to hurt this family's
right,
name
right.
and the fortune.
And why would you?
Right.
Why would you take the risk?
All you gotta do
because
is,
you never had to before.
All you got to do is
right.
fold, fold, fold.
Right.
You got enough to,
yes.
to outlast the blind.
That's it. Oh, that's a great. That's totally true. Except maybe the Raiders, who seem to have no money whatsoever.
I don't know where the money went.
That's another whole thing. I don't know that this thing wrapped up nicely in a circle, but
all right.
I like
it's
all the points that we had. And I know you and I have talked a lot about a lot of these issues, but I think in this episode we've actually sequenced it in a decent way that it makes sense. And so we didn't start with Kaepernick, but we did end up on him. And I think we gave some nice lead-in into how we
got there.
Although I still don't know how he doesn't have a job.
Hey, man.
We led up to that point. It's there's no explanation for it.
It's not about winning and losing.
No, it's about a bunch of ballless billionaires who don't want somebody to you know, flip their nose up at them. Ugh, I hate that. All right, good times. Well, that was the sports dump for today. It's an extra bonus episode. We have a show on Monday night. We're working on a celebrity guest, but we already have a 14-year NFL veteran who's committed. So what more do you people need?
I know. Come on, people.
That'll be 10 o'clock at Second City in Hollywood. Call me for comps if you hear this. And go to sportsdump.com for more info. Have a good one. Bye.